The world right now is dying on the vine for peace. People are so angry and yelling and threatening and fighting with each other because they don't have any peace.
Pastor Ray Bentley says what the world needs now is Jesus.
That's his character. That's his essence. That is his name. Everything that Jesus is peace. So move toward him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Jesus' presence in a life transforms. It changes everything from the inside out. And they look at everything around them with spiritual eyes, less about short-term gain and more about eternal consequences. Today, Pastor Ray shows us important insights by way of Paul's writings to the Thessalonians.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The title of this message is Occupy Till I Come. Now that phrase is not actually found in 2 Thessalonians, but it's from a parable that Jesus told. So those are Jesus' own words. And I think that what an appropriate message for the times in which you and I live. So in a little bit, we'll read from that parable and let Jesus give its context. But here was one of the early churches, and one of the early themes and messages of the Apostle Paul was Jesus is coming back. But in the meantime, there were some young, able-bodied brothers who apparently hearing Paul's, you know, continued emphasis on the coming of Jesus again, they decided, well, if the Lord's coming at any time, then why don't we quit our jobs and we will go up on the roof and we'll have theological discussions every day about how all these end times prophecies will fit together. Paul knew, you know, and one of the things you'll find about the gospel is it's very practical. It is not, you know, sometimes there is this hyper-spiritual, where we live in this, you know, nether world, and that's what was happening to these guys. They were all living in their heads and out of their heads, and they weren't helping. They weren't contributing. And besides, we don't know the day when he is going to come, and Jesus told us what to do until he comes, and that is to occupy, be busy. As he said to his own parents, I must be about my Father's what? Business. That's what life really is all about. God doesn't need his whole church sitting up on rooftops trying to, you know, having discussions about when he's going to come. There's much to be done. I don't need you guys hanging on the roofs, having all these big, heavy theological discussions, not actively involved and contributing. So he is trying to share that with them. Now, I will say, I think that that's a healthy word for us today. So we have to look at and being practical, occupy till I come. That's why I'm setting up this parable. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Beginning of verse 11. He says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So see, 2,000 years ago, the disciples were following Jesus and they apparently thought the kingdom is going to come any day now. They're debating on where they're going to sit when he establishes his kingdom. So here's the parable he tells them. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. So the likeness to himself, going to heaven to receive a kingdom, to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. I like the King James word, which is occupy. But a mina, by the way, is about 3 months' salary. So here's this master. He's got 10 hired servants. He gives each one, okay, you get 3 months' salary, you get 3 months' salary, you get 3 months' salary, you get 3 months. So 10 guys, and he goes, now go and invest that for my kingdom. And so he says, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Jesus is going to ask us one day, what did you do with the life that I gave you? What did you do with the gifts I gave you? What did you do with the talents I invested you with? What did you do with our relationship? And what did you do with my word? So now he comes back and there's an accounting. The Bible says there is an accounting. And then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. You gave me one mina, I went out, I invested it, I multiplied it, and now here I give you 10. And so the response, he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? At least, you might add. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he already has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of parallels that we could talk about. And I don't want to do a whole teaching on the parable, but the point is, and to make the application, this. What talents, what gifts, what abilities, what resources has God given to you personally that are laying dormant, buried, hidden, unused? Paul will later, as we'll see, wrote to this young guy, Timothy, and he said, Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. I know you have the gift. I've seen the gift. I've seen the joy in your life when you use the gift that God has given to you. Now, you're not using it. Stir it up. And in a sense, Paul is trying to share with these, you know, he says, look, they're not enemies. They're our brothers in the Lord. But they're doing no good by spinning around and just isolating themselves from the community, even unbelievers, let alone from the family, and mooching, as it were, off the benevolence and the hard work of others who are using the gifts God has given to them. And I think that's a good word for us today. Yes, it looks more intense. Yes, it looks like the end is closer than it has ever been before. That does not mean I quit my job, you know, go down into the basement or up into the attic or hide. In fact, this is a time probably today and the days following where we need to be actively, visibly seen and involved like salt and light in our community as never before. We have a source of peace. We have already even been told. The Lord gave to us, maybe not every little detail, but he gave us the general plan of the future. We know what is going to happen. And we can have peace in the midst of it. So here's my encouragement to you. No matter how bad things are or get, and, you know, the direction that we're headed toward is things will probably get worse before Jesus comes. What are the gifts that God has given to you that have lain dormant and that the Lord would say, stir up and say, use them, exercise them, invest them in my kingdom for such a time as this? So we have to use the gifts and the talents God's given to us and be faithful and occupy until he comes. So let's occupy together. Let's encourage one another, love one another, be with one another, and so forth. Okay. the end of that little exhortation, go back with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll finish with three, what I call a threefold blessing in verses 16 through 18. The first one is in verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Now, this is my prayer as your pastor. May the Lord of peace, and who is the Lord of peace? Jesus. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every situation and every place where you are. The Old Testament prophets said and described and revealed the name, the character of the Messiah as the Prince of what? Peace. And we're dying. The world right now is dying on the vine for peace. And that's why people are so irrational and emotionally out of control and angry and yelling and threatening and fighting with each other because they don't have any peace and they're scared to death. And there is, you know, that's why it's so good to get near Jesus, because that's his character, that's his essence, that is his nature, that is his name, that is his reputation. Everything that Jesus is peace. So move toward him, and may the Lord of peace give you peace. Now, Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15 tells us why, for human beings in a fallen, broken world, that Jesus is peace. I love these two verses. Let's read Ephesians 2, 14 and 15 out loud together. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Right there, the answer to peace in the Middle East is Jesus. Because what he's saying there is that what Jesus did on the cross is he took the two men, Jew and Gentile, and made out of them one new man. He himself is our peace, who in his own body abolished the writing and the commandments that we've all broken, in order that out of the two, he might make one new man, thus making peace. Jesus is the answer. And, you know, really, that's what it all comes down to is we have the answer for everything. It's almost like beginning, you know, very simply, every conversation. Now, Jesus is the answer. Now, what was your question? Right? Ultimately, that's what we believe. So let me ask you to apply this in one way. Where is a compartment of your life where the peace of Jesus is not there for you? There may be some place that is not a peaceful place. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's in a relationship or whatever it may be. And know this, the Lord of peace give you peace, and let Jesus bring his peace into every place where you are as you get your eyes upon him. So that's the first blessing I give to you. May the Lord give you peace. The second blessing is the presence of the Lord. He says, the Lord be with you all. Would you say that out loud with me? The Lord be with you all. Now, it is one thing to receive the gift of peace of Messiah as a gift. It is another thing to experience the peace of Jesus himself in the midst of his people. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Psalm 46, verse 10. I love this verse, Psalm 46, 10. Let's read it out loud. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So you believe in peace, and Jesus is my peace, and I am a Christian, and I trust in him, and great. Now, how do I experience the peace of his presence. Those two words, be still. And another way that the Lord has been speaking to me, because I am by nature a very anxious person. I get wound up. I mean, you know, I really get wound up with all of this. And so the Lord speaks to me and says, be still, my son. One thing that we as a culture are not very good at is being still. You know what we're good at? Being busy. We are experts at being busy. And we bombard our ears with sounds. I mean, I grew up in this media generation. I grew up, you know, watching television. And, you know, there's always something on. And then the radio, when you get in your car, there's always, you know, music or some talk show or whatever, that there's something there. And then, even beyond that, I'll see somebody talking to themselves, and I just feel sorry. Oh, how sad, he's talking to himself. And then I go, oh, they've got a phone in their ear. You don't realize. But the point is, God did not design us as human beings to have the level, let's say, of bombardment, of noise and chatter, things to make you stirred up and anxious, and, you know, you can become just adrenaline junkies to, you know, you think, oh, they're good, 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 but eventually it can burn you out. Be still. Now, let me interpret that in another way. The Lord has been speaking to me with two other words. It's like, how do you be still? Slow down. Slow down. Not easy to do. Not easy for us to do, but very important. The first duty of love is to listen. Listening to someone. If you want to manifest love, start listening to someone. That's a great way to express it. I think that most of us and most of our culture are afraid of silence, which reminds me of the story of Elijah, well-known Bible story. Elijah, after his near suicidal depression, I mean, he was that bad, God told him to stand here in this cave and wait for my presence. So there's Elijah, you know, he's talk about an adrenaline junkie in one sense. I mean, he's taken on the bad prophets of Baal, and he's delivered them, and God's delivered by fire, and the nation's repenting, and national move of God through him. And now he's ready to end everything. So God says, you know, he feeds him, he gives him a little food, a little water, tells him to take a little rest, and he says, now wait in the mouth of the cave till my presence comes. So then you know the story. There's a big wind that comes on the mountain. And as he's standing there, you can imagine Elijah's hair is blowing all around and his toga being tossed. But God was not in the wind. What's interesting about that is God has manifest himself in the wind before. In the book of Job, when you get to the end of Job, it says there was this powerful wind and God in the wind revealed himself to Job, but not to Elijah. Then there was a mighty earthquake on the mountain. So he's standing at the mouth of this cave and probably thinking, oh my goodness, an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. But God in the past had been in an earthquake. On Mount Sinai, there was an earthquake when he delivered the Ten Commandments. But not now. This time was something new. Then there was a fire on the mountain. And surely Elijah could have said, that must be God, because Moses was out in the wilderness and he saw a bush that was burning, and surely that is the manifestation of God. But he discovered that God was not in the fire. And he waited. And then we read, he heard what? It says in King James, a still small voice. Now that's a good job at trying to interpret something out of the Hebrew that's very, very difficult. Another English attempt at it says that it was a quiet whisper. And that's pretty good too. But from what I have read in the commentaries about the Hebrew, if I whisper like this, that's a quiet sound. But the idea here was, it wasn't even really a whisper. There was nothing audibly that you could hear. In other words, it was the voice inside of Elijah. Like a whisper, but not a whisper. Not a sound physically, but something heard quietly on the inside, the voice of God. And that actually, that experience of Elijah on the mountaintop after this chaotic, anxiety-ridden, high-intensity, radical move of God on Mount Carmel, followed by the depression, followed by all the other ways that God had revealed himself in the past, but now finally saves the best for last and says, this is how, Elijah, I will communicate with you. I'm going to speak inside your own mind, within your own heart, quietly, and you'll listen to me and hear me. Now, that, what Elijah experienced, is what is the inheritance of every believer in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in you, speaking to you. I believe he's speaking to you and to me constantly, daily, just like any loving father would, you know, encouraging us, oh, watch out, son, be careful. Okay, yeah. And sometimes he just goes, yeah, you're right where you should be, enjoy. But he's always there. Unfortunately, we've got so much chatter going on and noise banging into our ears, we never hear the still, small voice whisper. So how do you get there? Slow down. Be still. And let God speak to you and let God minister to you. May the Lord be with you. And finally, verse 17, he says, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle or letter, so I write. So Paul's been dictating the letter. Now he takes the pen in his own hand and says, see, to authenticate, it's really from the Apostle Paul. There's his signature. But now the third blessing, and we close with this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It begins with grace, and it ends with grace. Grace is God's eternal favor. God favors you. You ever had somebody just favor you? Like, man, I get the feeling. And the first experience probably you have with it, hopefully, is maybe a mother or a grandmother. Divine, you know, favor in that it seems like there's nothing you could do wrong. They just love you unconditionally. Well, it's so beyond that with God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then, amen, which means, so be it.
Pastor Ray Bentley, wrapping up our studies in the New Testament book of 2 Thessalonians. Glad you joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Occupy Till I Come. And we can send it your way for just $7. And again, that message title, Occupy Till I Come. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Thessalonians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray as he leads us into the book of Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.